Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect.
Hi there, everyone. Kathy Love here. I've been having a think, and I've been having a bit of a read across the internet and in and out of a couple of chapters in a couple of books about meetings. And I wonder what you just thought and felt when you heard the word meetings. Love them or loathe them, or some other emotion in between, they are a really necessary, I would even say critical part of business. And the allied health business scene is not immune from that. And I thought I'd have a little bit of a chat today about some of my thoughts around meetings, and I'm hoping that they're going to be useful and thought-provoking and will perhaps get you thinking about how meetings could be, should be, would be different in your allied health business. So here goes with it. I guess what makes them critical is that meetings have such a core role in setting the tone of an organisation, setting the needle on the organisational culture, defining you as a leader and a business owner, also establishing the roles of a leadership team if you have that in place. And I guess all of this stuff really distills down to communication. What is your communication style? What are your communication values? How does it work? And how does it sometimes not work in your particular business? Really interesting stuff to throw some critical thinking time as well. And I guess, every business owner is going to have different sorts of meetings. And I guess if I just quickly rattle off some of the typical meetings that you might have, there might be a finance meeting that you might have with your bookkeeper or your practice manager or your accountant. It might be a finance meeting with you. You alone may be the CFO. That's totally cool. We've all been there. But it's about what you talk in that meeting, talk about what you think about, what you decide, what you action, and then how often that meeting happens. Hopefully it's once a month, once a quarter at the outside. You may be having some marketing meetings. You may have in-house marketing, or you may engage an external supplier of marketing. So that could be you, that could be your practice manager with the external supplier. That might happen monthly, less, more, whatever it needs to be. You may have some clinical meetings, and I'm just going to have a little soapbox moment. My blood curdles when I hear about case meetings. Humans are not cases, okay? And that sort of language just sparks rage with me and takes me way back to the medical model of many decades ago. You don't even want to know how long ago all of that stuff was. But if you could just kind of think about your beliefs on that, think about your language around it, think about what else you could call it. Clinical governance is pretty cool. Customer service is really cool. Hopefully you got a meeting about that as well. So you may have a range of meetings around the clinical side of things. Let's just keep it neat and tidy along those lines at the moment. You may have business development meetings. You may also have team meetings, and it's team meetings that I really want to kind of share some thoughts on today. So whilst all of those other ones exist, the principles that we're going to talk about now are equally applicable, but let's kind of dive on into the team meetings, because I'm pretty sure there's not an allied health business out there that doesn't have some form of team meeting. Now, I guess I get asked this a bit. I sort of get asked, well, what do other businesses do? Do they have weekly or fortnightly or monthly team meetings? Are they 30 minutes or 45 or 60 or 90 minutes? There's a whole lot of comparison-itis going on out there. What I do tend to hear is that there aren't enough quality meetings, and that meetings don't seem to be often enough. Now, I don't know if that is really about the whole billable hours, the billable behaviour, billable activity bit. It might be. I don't know. Every business is so different. But I am a little surprised sometimes at how infrequent and how brief meetings might be. And it's not to say it's not going to work, but you really need to power pack those sort of meetings that might be an hour a month or half an hour a fortnight, whatever. I'm just pulling numbers from my memory on that one. But I am a big fan of having some predictability and what I call rhythm into team meetings. So the same day, at the same time, probably the same place, and that you repeat and that there is anticipation around that meeting. Everyone knows when it is, how long it's for, and they also know the purpose of it. And you might need to do a little bit of groundwork and in defining the purpose of it so that everyone attending has clarity about that and prepares, knows what they have to arrive with to that particular meeting. Now, the duration. So, I don't know, there seems to be a real default setting about attending a meeting for 60 minutes. I think it could be kind of fun to challenge that. I was talking with someone yesterday, Donna McGeorge, the author of the 25-minute meeting. I am all up for the entrepreneurial challenge of doing a whole lot more with a whole lot less. And in this case, we're talking about a whole lot more meeting and activity with a whole less time. I think that we are all very well placed to crunch out really powerful meetings in 50 minutes, maybe in 80 minutes, so that there is really good segue time onto the next task. So, feel free to break those rules on 60, 90, 120-minute meetings. They just may be a habit rather than a really kind of cool productivity piece. Always be punctual. Not negotiable. And remember that a meeting is part of a chain reaction. It's not just the meeting that is useful. It's the preparation and before the meeting that is nearly always really, really solid and really, really positive. It is the discussion that happens in the meeting, but then there's also the post-meeting phase where the clarification and the implementation might happen as well. I don't know if you've thought about that much, that a meeting has a context. It has a before and after party, and whether or not that is valuable for you to think a little bit more strategically about how that helps the people get, helps your team get max value out of the session when they're in the room together as well. It's also a really interesting idea to have quite a formal structure to meetings. I think that really helps you power through them. You don't want to be boring and you don't want to be too predictable, but to certainly have some structure in there. And that is very much going to align with the purpose that you have defined for that particular meeting. Totally fine to have a call for agenda items, but to categorise them well. And on the topic of minutes, yep, by all means, take minutes, but you may choose not to circulate them to everyone and clog up email. You may choose to store them somewhere where everyone could get them on a server or cloud or whatever. But you're probably wanting to encourage participants, attendees to take notes and to have some ownership from the information, the ideas, the actions that in fact they are leaving the meeting with to then follow up as well. So what meetings provide you with is a vehicle for really effective communication and really consistent communication. The flip side is that you might be a business owner that has a whole lot of doorstop conversations and that you're telling everyone pretty similar versions of the news and the activities and the updates, but you're doing it 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 times. And that kind of can feed the rumor mill. And it can also leave some things unsaid. And as a rule, being human as we all are, that people may well kind of speculate on what they don't hear or speculate on what they might hear secondhand as well. So it very much puts you as the allied health business owner in the driver's seat and really helps you consolidate your credibility as an inspired leader and a really disciplined kind of business manager as well, in really no other way that can show up in a really front-footed kind of communication manner. So don't underestimate the role that you have to play in leading these meetings, setting the agenda, setting the tone. If you're in meetings and you're doing all the talking, you might want to kind of check in on that. What is all of that about? Is that you being the boss, or would a leader actually use a much more of a coaching approach, a lot more facilitation? Would a leader essentially be asking more than telling? Just an interesting little moment of self-awareness. Not sure if you identify with any of that. The other role for a meeting is education, group education. It's also a place for news. It's a place for updates. It's a place for shares. It's also a place for challenges. A challenge shared often comes up with solutions that you may not have kind of generated yourself, but then there's also an extra degree of ownership from the team that they've been part of the analysis from the get-go, and the engagement on the other side of that solution may just be a little bit higher than if you'd have sat on it alone and pondered and come up with something that was remarkable but essentially didn't feel owned by the crew. So something else to consider there also. And I guess that circles back really nicely to your role as leader or boss. Definitely go for the leadership option about seeking guidance from the team about solutions, opportunities, challenges, next steps, whatever it might be for you and your team in your allied health business as well. Ultimately, you're wanting people to leave the meetings with notes, with clarity, with learning, with insight, with inspiration, with optimism, and a pretty clear path on who's going to do what next and by when. And that, as an inspired leader, leaves you holding accountability and potentially also checking in on some tasks you may have delegated, so that everyone is future focused, everyone's kind of stepping with the same stride in the same direction, and that you are then kind of following up and moving and bringing everybody forward on the business adventure with you. So that's the accountability piece. Meetings are just a really remarkable way of shared accountability and shared visioning. So that's why I am such a fan, and that's why I get a little jumpy when I hear that these opportunities are not optimized and that meetings are a little dull and a little repetitive and a little unfocused and potentially in many allied health businesses way too clinical, and you just may want to have a look at what your business, what your meeting schedule is, and splitting clinical, just having some smaller micro focus meetings for some other core topics. I'm not saying leave it off, but just be really clear about the purpose of a business meeting. Alrighty, so that is my thoughts on this. I am really interested to hear what you think. Absolutely jump into my calendar if this is something that you kind of want a bit of a chat about. You know, you've got all my details on that as well. I'm just going to leave you with some thinking about how you may choose to revisit your current meeting structure and function and frequency, and whether or not there are some improvements that you could make from you as the business owner's point of view, but also from your team's point of view as well. I'm going to leave that with you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.